All right, so I titled this The Cloud of Witnesses, and one title was Consistent Engaging with the Cloud of Witnesses. And originally, when I laid out my little mini outline, it was called Why, the Benefits, When, Who, and How. You know, that's the whole deal, right? And so I'm going to kind of talk a little slow for those taking notes and those listening online, how it can start. And scripture, Zechariah chapter 3, verse 7. Let me read it to you. This is how they amplified. Thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways and keep my charge, then also you shall rule my house and have charge of my courts, and I will give you access to my presence and places to walk among those who stand here. Okay. So there's a lot of stuff in that thingy, but I want to focus on the last sentence there. I'll give you access to my presence. Okay. So and check the order. It's his presence first. Second thing is those who hang out, right? I'm going to give you a cheat deal. So for those who are not going to listen and skip ahead, you want to skip to, who's he talking about when he says, those who stand by here? Well, the answer is in Hebrews 12, 22. It's just, we'll get there eventually, but that's the answer. And you can skip ahead in your brain and go, oh, in Revelations, in the throne room scenes, there's four living creatures, there's the seven spirits of God, there's all these entities, there's lightning beings, there's all this stuff. He is saying, I'll give you access to all those who stand around me. Who's hanging out with God? Lovers of God, the cloud of witnesses, it's all these stuff. There's creatures. And so, and in this day and age, people have a tendency of looking for shortcuts. When I wrote my first book on the seven spirits, I was accused of distracting people from having a relationship with God and having a relationship with other things. Now, I met the seven spirits because God introduced me to them. So I'm thinking, how did you get that I'm trying to say, don't go the God route, go your own route, right? And so I was confused for a while. And actually, several of my critics brought it up. And I was kind of like, what? I don't see it. Then one day, after going to one of my critics, the Lord said, that critic is correct. Now, the critics were saying, you should make Jesus first, as in Jesus should be the topic of all your books. I said, well, no, people know Jesus. You know, this book is an introduction to other parts of the kingdom, other parts of the, if you will, the organization, you know, of the kingdom. But when I left this meeting, about my first book, and I was going to a online meeting, and the Lord says, yes, the people who are on your meeting to know about the seven spirits of God do not want to know about me. They want to know about the seven spirits. I go, no, these are, in my mind, mature people. They had, you know, I thought they were mature. So I said, well, okay, God, just in case you're correct, I'm going to start off the meeting with, have a long, I think I added like 15 to 20 minutes of relationship first, right? To, just in case God was right, they were, you know. And so I did that. I said, okay, any questions about the foundation, about how, you know, your vital union with the Father is critical before we go on. This is your foundation. From here we build. From here we go further, right? And a guy spoke up. He says, that was great. That's, yeah, relationships for, yeah, key. Yeah. Anyway, how do I get to with wisdom? I mean, anyway. You just don't push God aside, you know? And I was like, oh my gosh. So I did another 10 minutes on relationship. And then the lady goes, oh my gosh, thank you so much for the 20 minutes. Thank you so much for the 10 minutes. Relationship is so vital. Wally, thank you. Okay. Okay, and I'm thinking, all right, this lady's got it. She's about to slap us all, you know, in. And I go, okay, and bring it home. She goes, yeah, anyway, I'm trying to work with the spirit of counsel and the spirit. I was like, just left the father again. I thought, oh my gosh, you know. And so I think this teaching, the cloud of witnesses, is I don't want us to get astray. It's not like God's only good for salvation, deliverance, but the real fun stuff is with the seven spirits, or the cloud of witnesses, or the creature of the many eyes. I've heard teachings that kind of exalt these things, and you feel like, well, I'm going to skip my devotional time. I'm just going to ascend to heaven and find something new. And we don't keep cultivating the Father relationship. My personal belief is in the Father relationship, you're growing. He may say, wow. And this is what he's done with me. Okay, good. Now I have a teacher for you. Not, Father, can I see Elon? Can I see Enoch? Can I have some sugar? Can I have some sugar? Can I go to the park? Can I drive the car? And God's like, you're not ready yet. But you can keep begging and stuff, and God's like, okay, there you go. Do you want me or do you want that? And I think there's a heart check in there. I don't like that because sometimes he gives me something that is not good for me so that I can learn it's not good for me. And I've now wasted a day, year, a decade. He gives you the desires of your heart. What do you desire? And so in Zechariah 3:7, if your desire is him, if you walk in my ways, desire him, keep my charge, desire him, then if you seek first the kingdom of God, then he'll go, oh, now you're ready to rule my house. To see, first was him. Now you're ready to be over a territory. Your heart's right. He's worked with you. So the rule of the house, charge of my courts. You know, there was a big season, and Susan read this to me last night, because I blast. I said, so I posted on Facebook, I don't know, years ago. I said, if you're spending the amount of time you spend in the courts, then you have the same relationship with the judge as the accuser does. If that's your only time, you have the same relationship as the accuser does with the judge. And there was a season that courts were everything. Court. And I was like, courts are important, but if your only time in his presence is knowing him as judge, then you see him just like the accuser sees him. And matter of fact, if that's true, then you're actually having a bigger relationship with the accuser. And you'll become like the ones you hang out with. It's very deceptive, because you're not going to court to know the accuser, but it's all you do. You're getting the same amount of time. Okay. So but keeps on reading again. Me, then I'll give you my house, charge my courts, I'll give you access to my presence. Okay. And places to walk among those who stand here. See, so you can get there, okay. But the Father gives access to all the citizens of the kingdom. Okay? It is about relationship. It is about who you know. But the Father knows everyone. I think if he introduces you to King David or Solomon or da-da-da-da-da, I think there's a solid deal there. You won't get off weird. Or that entity won't get off weird. Because the Father says, oh, look, this is my girl Trish, and she needs to hear from you, Bathsheba. Really? Yeah. I could just speak to Trisha. Yeah. I thought, wow, she was at that drum circle in D.C. I was born a different time. I couldn't do a drum circle. Well, we had drum circles, but she was the one that shifted the nation. Can I talk to her? No, I want you to tell her about your time. Da, da, da. Well, can she talk to me? And that's how they're looking at us, right? This is wild. Okay, the Father gives access. I believe the Father knows best, and I believe the Father has a timing, and he does that. Does that mean you can't ask to speak to somebody? No. Does not mean that. I'm not saying that, so don't hear that. So let me tell you how it kind of started with me. Again, key word is relationship. I believe it started with Matthew 17. Now, Matthew 17 in the New Testament, it's the chapter after Matthew 16. I know, you guys were wondering, where did that chapter come from? Matthew 17, verse 1 is Jesus takes James and John up to a mountain to pray. Verse 2, all of a sudden Jesus goes radiant, and he's shining like the sun, right? Verse 3, Moses and Elijah appear. I've read Matthew 17. I've lost count, but it's got to be way past the hundreds. I want to think it's in thousands, right? And one time I was reading this, probably a decade ago, maybe 15 years ago, and I was thinking, like, I wish my prayer time was like this prayer time. I mean, my prayer times, I fall asleep. There's no sleeping here. I mean, they're going up in a mountain. And when you go to Israel, there's not any big mountains. Where did Jesus take these guys? I think he ascended them. Mm-hmm. Okay? Because there isn't up the mountain to pray. It's just like when Jesus was tested by the Satan. He took him to a high place. Took him to the temple, and then took him to a mountain. What mountain are you talking about that was that high you could see the kingdoms of the world? Right? They went to some heavenly place. Yeah. Okay. But then verse 2, all of a sudden in this place, Jesus goes bright. And he's shining so much, it's shining, the brightness of the sun is coming through his face. So I never thought that happened to me, because I was like, but this whole thing about Moses and Elijah appearing. So I'd read that. And the cover of my fifth book actually has that. For those who know that, it's I have a cloud there, and the verse in that same book, chapter 17, God shows up in a glory cloud. Right. So I've been meditating on this all the time. Like, I want a glory cloud. Don't want a glory cloud. Like, I speak about. So my prayer life changed, because when the Lord said, "You can have that prayer life," I said, first of all, I'm not Jesus. I don't know where this mountain is. I don't know how you turn the light on, you know. And how does Moses and the light? He said, you can have it. So anything the Father says you can have, whether it's written or spoken, you can have. But you have to believe it. Now, there's lots of things God has said that we are not walking into because we don't believe them. It's not that he's holding it back. He has given us all things for life and godliness. Okay, life here, life wherever, and godliness is not what I interpreted. I used to believe godliness was being really good. I've given you everything you need to follow my law and be good, a goody two-shoes. That's how I read that scripture. That's not what that scripture means. It's, I've given you everything for life, to have the most best life, perfect, awesome. I've given you all you need. And godliness is how to be God in the earth. That's a package. Now, will you open that package by your faith, or will you be like, it doesn't mean that. And never seek it, you know. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter. It's the glory of kings to search it out. And the things we search out, I mean, I think most of us have searched out the in a denomination. You're kind of going, there's got to be more. That's the king in you searching thing out. Then you step out of that thing and you go, no one told me about this. And there's so much more of those, no one's told you about this, right? Anyway, back to where we're at. So this Matthew 17, I'm reading it, and I heard him say to me, you can have that kind of prayer life. I was like, so I had the whole list of why it was not possible. And I thought, well, okay, if you say yes, I'll say yes. So my first thing to overcome was my perception of prayer. My perception of prayer, and this is where I was, when someone said to me, let's go pray, I would immediately imagine two old women who were, for some reason, stunted in growth. I think they were Italian. And they somehow prayed on their knees, and they had a prayer list. And this prayer list, somehow they liked to pray, and they didn't mind being on their knees, but that was prayer to me. Now, my knees would hurt, and I wasn't faithful to finish my list, and so I could never do that. And I never associate myself with two old women. Why it was two and not three or not one, I don't know. But that was the image that came to mind. And so the first thing I did was, okay, I'm no longer going to say the word pray. If I say pray, two women pop my head. So I thought, well, I've got a problem, because we're supposed to pray. Jesus prayed, pray, pray. So the first thing I did was, I'm not going to pray anymore. I'm not going to say pray. I'm not going to pray. I'm going to engage. I swapped the word. I swapped the word pray for the word engage. Then I went, after I made the decision in my head, I told my wife, I no longer pray. And she, her words were, don't tell your daughter. Because she's like, Christians pray, and you just said you no longer pray. And she let me finish the comma. I now engage. Well, she stopped on, you no longer pray. And now we had a battle. We're supposed to raise our daughter. And da, 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 da. I said, da, 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 da. You understand? I'm trying to, you know, so you can't convince people what you're trying to convince yourself on. So first win the battle inside, then live it, and then, hey, why is your life different? Well, you see, now I engage with God, right? I've done something. I've entered in. So let your fruit speak for itself, okay? So again, so in Matthew 17, one, I was like, okay, he said it. Now, will you take Zechariah 3 the same way? He says, I can have, I'll give you access to my presence and places to walk and to walk among those who stand here. Will you receive that as an invitation and go, okay, tonight when I go to sleep, I'm going to expect to have access to your presence. And we're going to go for a walk, like an Enoch walk. I'm going to walk with God and be not. And while I'm walking with God, he may introduce me to some of his friends. Or, that'd still be Wally. That scripture's not for now. That's when, after 2,000 drum circles and 8,000 ascensions, there's protocols or steps. There's no steps, but yes. You know? But your yes versus my yes. But again, it was a big deal for me to My job was, I was trying to remove the word prayer from my vocabulary. Now, that's tough in a Christian world. Hey, well, you pray for me. I go, yes. But I would try my best not to say the word pray. Because if I say pray, I think of two ladies. Right? Now, I wasn't really solid with this engage, because I wouldn't tell them, I'm engaged with God. And they go, what's that mean? And they go, I don't know. And I read Matthew 17 2,000 times and come back to me. So that doesn't work, right? But that was trying to work out of me. So I did my best not to say the word pray. And then I got a little bolder. Will you pray for me now? I will engage with you. And they go, what's that mean? And I did a little mini teaching. And then they would no longer have a prayer request. Because they like one.
He's like,
oh, it did a whole lot. You're not going to pray for me. No, I'm going to engage. I don't want you to engage. I want you to pray. I'm not going to do that. Why? Aren't you a Christian? I've heard that. I am a Christian. Pray for me. And so, did I want to please people or have a new relationship? Well, people are pretty intense. You better pray for me. Fine, okay, I'll pray. But I'm not going to do it your way. So I started saying that. That was more palatable. I mean, engage now. Okay, don't say it aloud. Because engage, I get Star Wars. Engage, don't. And that's what it was. I'm trying to move into a different place.
Make it so number one.
Yeah, you know. And so, anyway, but this is how I started getting into, out of my mindset. This is a mindset shift. Okay, there are lots of people, lots of God's friends who want to talk to you. Some, and you need to talk to some of them. But God's not going to introduce you to me if you're like, you know, weird. If you're about to fall into idol worship and la 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 la. Okay. But this is how I started. It was, okay, get out of the mindset of prayer equals to a woman. Prayer is now Matthew 17. Okay. And so I started going, okay. I can't do the light thingy. I have no mountain to go to, but I'm going to renew my mind on the word. I'm not going to say the word. And I'm still, and this is 15, I'm still struggling not to say the P word. To where there's that image of death or non-effectiveness is there. To where I see myself as talking to my father, engaging, and things change. Right. So if you don't have any of that kind of baggage that you have to go through.
But yet, we look at
folks like Judy and Nora that have spent 25 years praying for a place, you know, and that, you know, but they eventually learned how to engage.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm always cautious. Hey, Wally, can you engage with me? you know, so.
So he's been a recipient of that.
Yeah.
You know, of the, I don't do that. And the person on the phone has been a recipient of that too. Can you just pray for me? And she's learned, can you do that thing? Because she's seen the fruit of me doing whatever I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, and so I'm trying to get where the fruit speaks. Forget the teaching and my trying to manipulate your brain and think like me. Okay, let me do my thing. Don't use the word. And come back to you, you know. Then did you see something different? You know, that's how it works. Okay.
I had to ask you to use your words. I'm like, I just need you to use your words and pray. Yeah, and then you will finally.
I thought you weren't going to say anything.
I didn't.
Okay. I was left you out. So I'm doing this, getting in my mind. And then one day, Elijah spoke to me. I had an encounter with Elijah. I was not looking for Elijah. And Elijah said, return here often, but don't talk to me only.
That's good.
Okay. And I was like, yeah, right. And I was like, wow.
First cloudy witness encounter.
Yeah. And I was like, I guess I'm on the path. Again, try not to make that my goal, but yeah, that's how I get started. So then, Jenna, write the scripture down. Again, this is how me. You probably won't have the same longer way of doing stuff or the weirder way. So in Genesis chapter 5, write this down. Genesis 5, verses 1 through 3, and verse 22. Genesis chapter 5 is the what's it called? The genealogy, Adam through all those guys, right? So I was doing another study. I've done a couple of teachings on Enoch. And so I think I was doing another one, something. And as I was studying this through, I had this thought of, man, why did it take 7 generations for Enoch to talk to God and walk with God? Enoch was alive when Adam was alive. And so Adam, yeah, but Enoch was alive with all the Jared, his father, and stuff. And I was like, what kind of conversation they have? And I was in my, usually Saturdays is my study time, deeper time, and I'm having my time myself. And in this moment, I started blaming Adam. Dude, if you would have been a better father, if you wouldn't have left the garden, if you wouldn't, and then Enoch would have, it wouldn't have waited 7 generations. Maybe Seth or maybe someone else would have got it, you know, and maybe I would have got it faster. And I was Adam bashing, you know. And I wasn't out loud. I was just thinking bad thoughts about Adam, you know. And Lord goes, why don't you talk to him about it? Okay. And I went, you can't talk to Adam. Adam's dead. I've actually been to Adam's burial site. Okay. It's in south of Jerusalem, Hebron. I've been there. I've seen the place where Adam's buried. So I know where he's buried. You can't talk to bones. That's necromancy. So my brain's going, oh, voice, you know I can't talk to Adam. Or can I? Right? And the Lord says, like, well, why don't you talk to him? You don't go, psh, like I usually do. I went, pause, invitation. I wasn't seeking. I was bad talking. So I was in my living room. I think it was in Oklahoma. I went, ooh. I think this is Zechariah 3:7. Give you access to places to walk among those who stand here. He said clearly, Adam still has relations with me. I have been taught when he got kicked out of the garden, that was it.
Yeah.
Period. Bad boy, they ain't coming back. They ain't talking. Oh, we still talk. What? Why don't you ask him?
Excuse me. I'm Wally Johnson Doubter. Do you have a moment?
And I had a nice conversation with Adam. That was trippy. Okay. So, but what's the pattern here? I've talked to my father, right? Cultivate a relationship with father, but there's this foundation of, I'll give you access to my presence and those who stand by here. So I'm going through my father. I'm not doing a use of my faith and demanding, you know, I'm from my relation with the father. He knows what's best. Right? Now, that last story, it's probably not the best way, you know, bashing somebody, you were going to talk to him about that. Ah! You know. So, okay, let's look back to the why. Why should we even think about kind of sort of even dealing with the cloud of witnesses?
And what? Have experience.
Good answer. I have a scripture here. Galatians 3:3. It says this, are you so foolish and so senseless and so silly, having begun your new life spiritually with the Spirit or the Holy Spirit, are you now reaching perfection by depending upon the flesh? Matthew 16, which comes before Matthew 17, that part there, Jesus says, who am I? And finally Peter says, you're the Christ. And it says, flesh and blood is not revealed to you, but my Father who's in heaven. Again, relationship. Your Father knows everything. Or are you trying to get information from somebody else other than Father God? Okay. So, are you so foolish, senseless, so silly, that you're trying to get to know how Solomon got wisdom by asking Solomon? Are you trying to do, well, I heard, well, he wrote a book on the seven spirits, one of the spirit of wisdom. I'm going to go to the spirit of wisdom and ask the spirit of wisdom about da-da-da-da-da. And I'm going to go, if you're talking to me and we're where I can talk to you, I'm going to go, did you go to your father first? And did their father direct you to the spirit of wisdom? Or do you think, are you being foolish, senseless, and silly and skipping the one who knows everything and skipping over there?
Yes. Right. So one of my first ascensions, he just suggested, or maybe you, whatever, but he just said, you need to talk to Enoch. All right. So I go to the ancient forest there and picnic table close to the boat dock, and I'm sit down there with Enoch, and Enoch sits down, and I look at Enoch, and Enoch looks at me, and I say to Enoch, I'm not ready for you. And Enoch goes, no, you're not. That was my first conversation with Enoch, you know. And then the spirit of wisdom came up from that, and Jesus walked up from that, and then that's how we engaged. And so in this engaging, it's so important that you base everything that you do, like you're saying, you've got to go to the Father, you know, and the Father will tell you what you need, you know. So, what does the Father say?
He's showing his
bracelet.
And so, the Galatians 3 is kind of the slap scripture, but Galatians 4, 1 and 2, you know, it's also why part B, a little nicer. Now that, I'll read this to you, Galatians 4, verses 1 and 2. Now, what I mean is that as long as the inheritor, and we're all heirs, right, is a child under age, he does not differ from a slave, although he's a master of all the estate. Okay. But he's under guardians and administrators or trustees until the date fixed by his father.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, I've wrongly taught this and let the father part off. I'm under guardians, administrators, trustees, and go run off to the guardian. But how long? By the time fixed by the father.
Yeah.
Okay. And the father's not going to do the time. He's going, which guardian, which administrator? Yeah. I don't know. I mean, if you've gone to college and you pick a class, hopefully you go, who's a good teacher? You go to the highest authority to tell you the person, what you need for your major, right? Mm-hmm. What believers are doing now is going like, I heard I can go talk to wisdom. I'm going right there. Well, you may not be ready for that. You may not be ready to talk to your angel. You may not be ready, but can I? Yes, you can, but should you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And again, just as I read this here, it's like, but he's under guardians, administrators, and trust until the date fixed by his father. Who is first? Father, right?
Yeah.
But that guardian looks really cool. That administrator, I heard that name, the big name, they have lots of time with them. Okay, but I think they had hopefully the father time first.
Yeah.
And then the father assigned them that person. And we want to skip steps, right?
So good, yeah.
You know, we just want to skip to, well, they're talking to him. Why can't I? Aren't I a son of God? Yes, you are. Well, then I'm going to talk to so-and-so too. And you use your faith or your control, your manipulation, and you... And your pouty, thank you. You know, I don't use pouty face very much anymore. I've tried that. It's not this strong working for me. Let me go back to verse 1, though. Now, what I mean is that as long as the child is underage, so it's not an age thing, it's a maturity thing of readiness, right? He does not differ from the slave. Okay, think, so you're living, you're a son of God. You've been born from high, on high. But you don't know who you are. So you're living like someone who doesn't know who they are. You're living like someone who's born in poverty mentality, that's born, who's living off of trauma, who's bound by time, who's being controlled by the horoscopes, being controlled because you don't know that you're a child. You're just like a slave. Although you're the master of the estate. And this, I mean, we gotta get this. We've been, those you've come into a relationship, you are the seed of God. He has given you all things for life, to grow up, to get in the process, deal with this deal. But we're acting like a slave who doesn't have anything, has no inheritance, has no father, has no caring group around them. We're acting like we're orphans. Because, so we're in this place of... And we pop into a denomination and we pop, you know, pick a name, whatever, or we, whatever, go to the school system or philosophy system. And God's going like, why don't you come to me so I can put you in my school? Come here. Some of it is really father time. Some of it's like, okay, some of it's a godly mentor. Okay. But no, I know what I need. Oh, if you go back to the father relationship, he'll give you the right guardian at the right time, the right administrator at the right time, the right trustee at the right time. And then it'd be a nice fit, right? Well, can I pick my own? Well, you can, but father knows best. But you don't know that, or I didn't know that until I started knowing my father, he was good. And I didn't trust him until I started building trust, right? So once I started building trust, then I got access. All right. Once me and the father were tight, that's the wrong word, tight, we're closer, he gave me access. Did I want to skip access, or skip father time and go right to, I heard that you can talk to McKissick. I want male time. Really? I wanted to be in those groups, I wanted to say the stories, and I wanted to be one of those. Does that grow me up? I'm still a slave. I may have some cool encounters, but I'm not the master of my estate. The goal is not encounters. The goal is to grow up. We only grow up his way. Or you get, you know, if you... as a baby, if you have the wrong food at a certain time, your growth is stunted because you skipped a step, right? And we've got to get back on the process of growing up right, you know, and not being foolish, not being senseless, not being silly, not finally getting born from above, not just born again, but born from above, and then go, okay, let's go back to eating bad food again. let's do what that conference says. And I mean, it's like you name someone and they forget that, well, hold on, they didn't like get saved and then go right into heavenly encounters. The man I'm thinking about went through many years of deliverance. he doesn't have time to talk about all of his journey. What he told me, and I, the first time I heard him speak, he said, get on your journey. Not on my journey, get on your journey. And I was like, oh, so there's things I got to do. You just can't skip to traveling at the speed of light. You got to get back to, do you still have lust in you? Yes. Okay. Well, I went to one deliverance session. You may need two. Or three. Or four. And you may need to fast for more than an hour. Yeah. And so it's hard to, when you see these people, men and women, God, who are doing stuff,
yeah,
you don't know what they went through to get there, right? And you assume that, well, I'm sure they just had a light salad instead of a donut. That was their big sacrifice, right? And not that you got to do works, but everyone's got a process. Everyone's got a journey, right? And I hope what I'm trying to convey, there's a right way to engage the cloud of witnesses in the right way, in the right timing. But I believe, again, it's fixed by the Father, okay? Not by just what you want to do or what you've heard can be done. And that's the dangerous thing, because, yeah, you can do anything. All things are possible for those who believe. That all things are good for you because you can do it, right? So, and again, hopefully there's not a sense of, I'm not trying to convey fear. I'm trying to convey Father first. Father knows best. In that relationship, you'll get there. Our Father's not holding anything back from you. He's like, no, you're never talking to the Spirit of Wisdom. I don't want you ever to speak to her. She's bad. She's too busy talking to other people. You're not going to have that conversation. Now, you may be, hey, I heard about da 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 da. Oh, yeah. Maybe next week. But let's go do this today. Why don't we do that? I want to see wisdom now. Oh, okay. Then you're acting like a child. Who's a slave and doesn't know how that the Father's grooming you to be able to rule the estate. Right? There's a lot of things you have to understand and know. Because He wants to be always. He's always going to be with you, but he's going to be okay. Here's my rule. Okay, now you do it. Well, I forgot. Well, yeah, because you had your eye on Solomon, because he's right there, right? And you didn't see how I made that decision. You thought you wanted to do it like that, but if you hang out with me more, you'll be ready to be the master of your estate and not afraid of being afraid of the responsibility, afraid of the weight, afraid of. What if I do wrong? That's okay. You can't do wrong in him. Okay. Almost done. So the how long? How? And this, and I've just got corrected on this other day. I was having these encounters, and I was checking the box, going, yay, had an hour, had 2 hours, and I was good. I went to a Nancy Cohen meeting, and these guys were having encounters with their guardians and trustees for years. I went, years? I thought it was a little course you take. You one time with Enoch, and you just and I realized that I the Lord had introduced me to two, and I was happy with just the
introduction,
mm-hmm. And I missed the main course.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I do not want anyone to miss out like that. Like I've missed out for years with someone the Lord's put into my life. And I've ignored them, thinking that the introduction was all there was. Mm-hmm. Introduction was awesome. Yeah.
Almost like meeting a celebrity. I got to meet so-and-so, I got their autograph.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's good. Thank you. I'm glad it's recorded. So the answer of who's out there, Hebrews 12, verses 22 to 24. But rather you've come to Mount Zion, even the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to countless multitudes of angels. Okay, you have access to all these angels the Father wants to introduce you to. Multitudes of angels. Not just one for your bodyguard and one for your family. There's multitudes. But you're not be ready for the multitudes yet. Right? And to the church of the firstborn. Okay? The church we're supposed to be partnering with is not on earth. This is the cloud of witnesses. There's a church in heaven that is perfect, There's no backbiting there. There's no power struggles. There's no false doctrine there. There's a church, the assembly of the firstborn, who are registered as citizens in heaven, and to the God who judges all, and the spiritual righteous. Who are those guys? You got the church, you got the spirit of the righteous. I thought they would be the church. Okay. Those are others standing by there. Who have been made perfect, and to Jesus. Okay, Jesus is there, good thing. He's the mediator, go between the agent of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood. What? There's a thing called the sprinkled blood. Who's been talking to the sprinkled blood? I haven't. I didn't know you couldn't, just right now. It says, in heaven, there's a sprinkled blood that speaks. Who is the sprinkled blood speaking to? I didn't know there was a class called, come listen to the sprinkled blood. I'm definitely not ready because I didn't know.
Well, you know, that's interesting because in court, that's what they talk about. The blood of Jesus speaks to the accuser.
Yeah.
But you're thinking that it's Jesus that's doing that with his blood rather than the blood actually, the actual element actually speaking, which is like just ripped the top off of communion for me.
Thank you for adding that. That ripped me off too there. All right. The sprinkled blood which speaks of mercy, a better and nobler and more gracious message than the blood of Abel, which cried out for vengeance. So blood speaks. Your blood speaking? In the meadle. In the movie, Jack the Giant Slayer, in the movie, the giants could smell the blood. It released a frequency. They could tell, that's noble blood. That's bad blood. And I was like, wow, thank you, Jack. You know, what's my blood speaking? Right? So, the way the Lord introduced me to these two in the cloud of witnesses, it was kind of funny. There's a lady that I think you all know here, but I guess I should advertise for her. This is Paula Wicks, and she lives in New Zealand. She has a ministry called Heartworks. And so I had met Paula on Facebook. And some of you guys know that I don't think Facebook is real. Therefore, if I meet you on Facebook, you're not real. Until I meet you. Okay. So all this time you're like going, when did Wally think I was real? Probably not for a long time. So you're all distractions. You're fictitious people until I meet you. Anyway. So this fictitious person, which I have put no value in, I encouraged her, hey, you know, you're gifted. You should start a ministry. And over years, she finally did. Then the Lord said, okay, go get ministry from her. I said,
but Lord, I helped start her. I'm a big guy. She's a peon. Me, mature. She's just starting out.
Again, he's giving me access. I didn't know. I was thinking, no, you see, I was there. I said, you know, you and your husband are doing this, and your husband, you know, and your kids. And blah, 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 blah. I was mentoring her. I didn't really believe in her because she's not real. You think she's real because, but you know,
when he told me, I was like going, that doesn't make any sense. It's silly and foolish to me, right? So I finally gave in and, hey, God said I should talk to you. Now, I didn't want to. I wasn't trying to go get ministry. I'm trying to hang out with my father. My father directed. He ordered my steps, right? So my father passed 2 years ago, and I was moving to Oklahoma, and I said, well, I had some minutes before, have a few extra dollars, okay, God said so. So anyway, in this encounter, she goes, who's standing next to you? I go, I don't know, I'm in my house by myself, in the spirit. And I turn, and I said, there's a man standing next to me. And she said, what's his name? And I, in my mind, I spelled his name L. His name was Lawrence, but I spelled it like Lawrence of Arabia, L-A-W. And every time I thought the word L-A-W, Lawrence, something said, no, it's L-A-U. I go, no, this is my encounter. It's L-A-W, Lawrence of Arabia. And inside of me, it was like, no, Lawrence of England. There's no Lawrence of England. it's Lawrence of Arabia. We've all seen the movie. You know? And so, I don't know how people deal with me, because this is what goes on the inside of me, right? I know how God deals with me, because he's very patient. He's loved, so he's good. Everybody else, it's a miracle you guys are even here now. So I get done with the encounter, and so all of a sudden, I'm trying to go Lawrence of Arabia, and I know the movie, that the voice says it's Lawrence of England. I go, fine, we'll see about that. And I type in Lawrence of England, Wikipedia. I find Lawrence of England. He was a bishop to two kings. Okay? Now, in my encounter with Paula, she says, well, what's he here for? He's going to train me to be a king. Then I went, after the encounter was over, I went and checked. There was a real man named Lawrence in England who trained two kings. And I went, this is the cloud of witnesses. This guy actually lived, and now he's not on earth, and he's a guardian to me to teach me how to be a king. Okay. Was I looking for this? No. Did I want to do it my way? Yes. I finally did God's way, and I met Lawrence. And here's the bad thing. I had this great encounter, proof of Wikipedia, and I thought, that was great. And didn't visit Lawrence again. And that was a year ago. Okay. Yes. I see a hand.
Okay, so I'm sure that everybody's thinking, well, then what are we supposed to do? Like, so, I mean, for me, I can look back at times in my life where God has opened me up to a relationship with someone who has gone ahead, like one of the cloud of witnesses. But I'm sitting here looking at these situations going, okay, I missed so much. So what would really be helpful for me is to understand how to engage, you know, like
re-engage.
Yeah. Okay.
Right?
Yes.
Okay.
But what I guess I'm also asking is, you know, I guess still remembering the Father and that relationship and keeping that going. You know, I can go back in and re-engage, but it's like, how do you get yourself out of this starstruck celebrity mindset?
Right.
And go in and, you know, what are those steps? Not, I mean, yeah, I can engage, but I mean, I guess I'm just in that place where I'm like, wow, I've lost a lot of ground.
Well, first of all, you have to repent.
Yeah.
You stopped engaging, right? Check that. Easy. My bad. Stopped engaging.
Yeah.
So when I realized from the Chris Carter meeting that he was engaging for a year, I was like, a year? Every night for a year?
Okay. Yeah,
and
yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
We're supposed to do it every night? Oh my gosh. Now, Lawrence didn't say, hey, let's meet every night. I just thought it was a one-time deal. Okay.
Yeah.
So what Wallace Johnson did, I came up in the conference, Wallace Johnson got a notebook out, put Lawrence on the cover.
Oh, yeah, good.
You know,
yeah.
And the other one, which I'll tell you in a second, but so now I have a journal mm-hmm. with Lawrence on it.
Okay.
Okay. I have a teaching that I'm doing now to remind me what to do. So there's two things I've done. I did an intentional, I have a book in my living room right now that has St. Lawrence on the cover. Mm-hmm. Therefore, my encounters will go in that journal.
Yeah.
Now, I could go back in time, but I need to go, hey, this is a valuable relationship, I need to give you time. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, whose relationship is most important?
Father.
Right. So I'm not going to go, Lawrence, you get more father time, you get father's time. Now, I need to still carve out time in my day for father first, right? And then whoever else the Father wants to be with, right? Now, what's that look like? Well, it could be if my priority is straight, I may not see Lawrence once a month, if I'm doing everything right, you know? Now, there's busy stuff, and like this week, I almost did not come, well, in September, as I was looking to the month of October,
I said, there's nothing on my calendar for October. And then a week later, I get this message from the past, from Dottie, saying, hey, come to Oklahoma. I thought, ooh, this is that. But actually, on my calendar, today's date, this is when Oklahoma University plays Texas. This is a big deal for Oklahoma people. But it's not bigger than being a part of God's plan. And so I came here even though I was planning to go to the OU Texas game, which is a big deal for people who like that. And to my surprise, I came in the room and we won in four overtimes. Which is...
Oh my God.
Susan, I hope you watch the game. But anyway, but all I'm saying is there's always distractions, right? So first of all, don't beat ourselves up for not doing your time. But there's a diligence needed, and there's a diligence and discipline needed, right? So we just gotta, you know, figure that out, right? But don't beat ourselves up, repent. And I have a notebook now. And so, but it's just, you know, you make things important. Like, you know, I know in your life you have a something I want to put in my life, your morning time with your husband in the jacuzzi. That is like, I'm like going, man, I wish I was married and could get the discipline to have that morning time. And I'm like going, man, I covet that. I mean, so I know. And so before I was my first marriage, I'd studied all these weddings, you know, and I'm going with this Brooklyn wedding, I'm with this, you know. And so when I get to that next stage, the morning time with my mate will be, I'm not looking at the phone, it will be, you know, have something like that. But to me, that's awesome, right? So you value that and you made it, it wasn't easy. I mean, day one, you didn't have that time, but somehow you worked it in your schedule, right? So just like whatever the Father's put in your heart, you can work it in your schedule, you know. When you put those first things first, you know, and you create a righteous habit, right? But you can't beat yourself up. And like the weeks that may go by, and I'm not talking to Lawrence or he who sits on many waters. So again, a time with a non-time being only takes 3 seconds, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, you need to plan for an hour, but 3 seconds... You know,
so guilty.
On the way to the quiet place, I mean, from bathroom to place your quiet place, that encounter could occur, and that's all you need for a year. The depth and the richness of it. It's not like, okay, I need 15 minutes set aside. No, in the earth time, we got to set aside that, and that shows our desire, right? Mm-hmm. And so in the given month, if you only get 3 seconds, but in that 3 seconds, he says, what is something Lawrence said? That I can be a king. That's less than 3 seconds. And that word of encouragement from a messenger from the Father is a boost. Okay? That's all you need. It's not like I need 3 sessions. No, you need that 3 seconds. Which took you a month to get to 3 seconds, right?
Yep.
You see what I'm saying? It may take 2 months to get to 3 seconds, but the 3 seconds is all you need for that part of your journey.
Yeah.
So we can get out of the time mentality, like, man, God gave me 8 guardians, and I've only spent 3 hours with 2 of them. Man, I'm a loser. Okay, that's it. That is a way of thought. But not the right thought. That is, Father, thank you that you give me access. And now I need help to prioritize this stuff. You know, help my day job. I'm spending my deal 10 hours a day. I need to get more efficient. So right now in my job, I'm literally getting 4 new people to be added to my work schedule. And what am I going to do with that? Now that I have time for Lawrence. If I rebalance and reprioritize my daily rhythm, right? In our COVID situation, maybe this tape, you know, will be in a COVID-free time, but working from home, it is so tempting to go back to my cool bedroom and take a 15-minute nap and snooze and go 15 more minutes,
now I've just slept 45 minutes before I could have done something. Now, if I am tired, I, on the way into bed, I can say, Father, use this time, just not for body time, but for soul refreshing time and for encounter time. That's a 1 second inner prayer. I can say it or not say it. And I this past week I've said it two or three times, and that time of refreshing was good, was better than not. So again, those little tiny things are course corrections that set your destiny. I mean, the I don't know who told me that. Okay, you know, I said, what am I going to do in October? Okay. How many forces in the kingdom were working around waiting for me to be ready to say that? And then I still don't know what moved upon that lady to remember me,
yeah,
to send me. What kind of faith did that take? You
yeah
know?
Yeah.
Because I don't believe people. I mean, I almost deleted her just because old name, delete. That's how bad I am. So someone kept me from deleting it, you know? And actually, when I read it, I didn't believe it. I'm just be real. I did not believe that person was doing an event. I thought they were just playing a game, like, I'm doing an event. And not really an event. I actually called them because I did not believe the deal. I said, hey, you need to call me. I need to hear you say this deal. And then, like, interrogated her. You know, like, really, 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 really? Because I know the church she was in. I was checking that, and, you know, they're kind of playing some games, so. And even though I asked God, but I still didn't believe that. Right? And then when the date was, I was trying to get to an OU Texas game, I was like, really? I can go to an OU Texas game and take a special friend with me, you know? Or fly to D.C. where there's powers and principalities and things. And when I had no idea mentally that, Wally, this is the next election. The course of this planet is going to be, it's going to happen on November 4th, whatever, 3rd, what it is. I mean, it's that
away.
Big a deal.
The blink away.
You know? And it's 24 days away, I think, or 25 days away. I had a chance to say no to history. Or say yes to history, right? And then when I said yes, David wasn't on my mind. You know, you guys weren't on my mind. I mean, we got to realize that what we carry, the people we know. What if I had said no? You wouldn't have come up here. David Stitt was here.
Right.
You know.
I know. Yeah.
Well,
no.
It's always been here.
Yeah.
Why haven't you changed the world up here? You're only how many hours away?
Exactly.
How many hours away are you?
3.5.
Okay. Now, when I lived here, I was 25 minutes away. The first time I was here, out of 40 days, I was here 22 days of that. The next year dropped significantly, right? All I'm saying, when God opens a door, what do you do with those open doors? If you're not doing, I'm not trying to beat us up on us missing it. I'm trying to say, he's opening doors all the time. He's like, come, 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 come. And we're like going, that one, that one, that one. And we have to go to Father. Father, whoa, do I have this much access? Oh my goodness. What shall we do? You know? And so, anyway, so Lawrence of England. So that was, I met him, and I need to re-engage to get it where it's consistent, right? I he showed me there was three kingdoms. There was a practice kingdom. There was a kingdom that was already free, so I could see how a good king set up. And there was a king, it was a kingdom that was under control. I have yet to free that kingdom. So, I don't know if their time is multiple generations. There's a people group out there that I'm supposed to set them free from a bad king. And I have not done that. There's another group that's a play area that I could, they're okay, but they don't care what I do or not do. I'm supposed to practice there. Practice here so I can go do it better there. Have not done that. Okay. This is on me. If those are real people and they're in real bondage waiting for me to get my act together, how many people have been waiting for you three people to come to David's tent this week? Who comes from Long Island, New York, to D.C. on October 9th and 10th, whatever days they are?
Yeah.
Named honeybees or bumblebees in yellow and black. What in the world, right? Who is in the tent as an intercessor and responds to someone yelling across the tent and comes over and shares a word about empowerment that I've never heard before? I wanted to be a woman when she said that. I'm serious. If you ever talk to me about being a woman, I will tell you clear. I am so glad God got the woman because of everything that she said. And but this is the first woman I ever heard that had come through so much and wasn't stopping. And the Lord told me later on, you need encouragement to write a second book. He said, you need encouragement to write a book. And when I sat down, I said, I'm supposed to encourage you to write a book. Have you written one? Yes, I have. And my story. And then I said, okay, you're supposed to do part two. You have not written about this, about you're free, but this freedom you've got with those people, the multiplication, you haven't written about that. She's like, no, I haven't. That's what you got to do, right? But, I mean, her freedom was like, I don't want to be that free, you know? And I'm not a lady. I'm like, oh. And I was like, man, I'm glad I embarrassed her. Leah yelled across the tent, which we're not supposed to do. I'm glad that she came across the tent and shared with us and didn't, what did Leah tell you? Doesn't matter what she said, speak. And she dealt with my rudeness, you know, and then delivered. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
I mean, that was worth it for me coming. Just that part there. So, but God was doing all this stuff, right? You know, what we've been waiting for, your yes, my yes, right? How many yeses didn't show up? There were people that were supposed to sing. And Susan showed me all, she showed me the lineup was supposed to sing today. And only half of them showed up. Some of them said yes when I had a car wreck earlier this week. Some said yes, then they by actions said no. I don't know what the whole deal was, but man, we fought through our no's and are here. What would have happened? And you know, I mean, it's just stuff like that. And I'm taking things for granted too much. You know, I need to get active with Lawrence and for your kingdom. And it's just on my head, right? I met another one called He Who Sits on Many Waters. And I was like,
What's the name?
He Who Sits on Many Waters.
Oh.
And I'm like, it's a very long name.
Yeah.
And my friend said, well, what's he doing? He's hovering. And again, I had that little encounter, a strange name, and dropped it. Didn't go to Wikipedia like they did, but nothing pops up, right? But when I came back from that conference, I re-engaged. And you know there's a scripture about this? In Revelations, Jezebel sits on many waters. And I was like,
yeah.
She's the counterfeit of He Who Sits on Many Waters. And I'm like, chapter and verse in the Bible, not Wikipedia. And I'm like, and I've not spent time with him. And he wants to show me how to deal with different people groups. When the Bible talks many waters, those are groups and nations and tribes. This guy knows how to minister to groups of people. It's really that city thing, David. I just realized that. It's a city thing. And we got to minister to a city the other day, which still kind of blows my mind. And so that's the upgrade. It's one thing to go 101 or 103 or a little drum circle. I've got that down. Okay, now you're going to cities. What? Wait. I just got the drum circle thing. You're not afraid. I can't drum. I'm getting there. Cities. What do you mean?
It's time.
Ah! You know, you better get into your guardians because you're the master of an estate. Right? So, but we've got to get off of where we've been and start trusting the Father for who we are now and where we're going. And he's preparing us, right? Just like those metal gloves I showed you, you know.
So cool.
I was at the gas station. I saw them,
and they were 50% off. Oh my gosh! And I didn't buy them because I was looking for Superman stuff. There was, I was believing, and I was going through shelf one. I know you're in here. Shelf two. I know you're in here. Shelf three. I know you're in here. Shelf four. I know you're in. Shelf five. Winner, found you. Now why didn't I go to shelf five anyway? But I find this cool Superman thingy, right? And then it was like, Wally, time to go. And I'm like, I'm thinking, but they pressure. And I leave the 50% off ones. I get in the car and I'm like, I'm not supposed to get those. Then I'm like, I will stop on the way back. You know how many gas stations are between Oklahoma City and Nebraska? You're not stopping the same one, you know, and we didn't.
I do.
Well, you do. Well, we did. You know, we went back a different way,
creature
and I'm thinking like
creature vampire, creature vampire.
And so then it was like, I could do this. Oh, I missed an opportunity. Or you better find those things on Amazon, you know. And of course, I missed my 50% off deal, and I got them. But aren't those the coolest things ever? Oh my god. I mean, they were cool at the gas station, but they're cooler. They actually, mine fits my hand, and I'm not gonna play with them. But it just shows me in scripture, he trains your hands for war. You have been designed for this city, for the state, for when you're in the air, for when you're in Lynchburg, for when you're in the sauna. You've been fashioned for this, just like those gloves are fashioned to make me feel something.
Okay, sorry, interrupt. Hand, you got to have a metal fist bump. You got to do it.
I got to do it.
You got to get a picture of a metal fist bump. You got to do it. Yeah.
But can you see what our Father is doing? How he's preparing? I'm still tripping on you coming to meeting Julie in Israel.
Right.
Come on. Who meets in Israel?
Right.
And then you follow up, you know, I don't, you what brought you to, you met in Israel, that's cool.
Well, we connected, and then she invited me to come to, when you were coming, but I thought, well, hey, I love Gwen and Judy, I want to go see him, I miss him. And then I was hoping we'd connect, but you weren't the primary reason, sorry.
It was. She was very interested in the drum circle.
But how did that conversation start, though? How did that conversation start? Was it in Israel?
She invited me. No.
The drum.
I called you. Why did I call you about a drum circle? I don't even know.
I know. If something happened prior to that, and then you contacted me and said, "I just need you to know I'm really interested in this thing."
I don't know if it was because...
Because you didn't have a drum in Israel, right?
No. but in January...
I think I talked.
Gwen and I were in Hawaii together with Sarah's group. And Gwen bought that little drum I brought. And I fell in love with that little drum.
Okay.
And I think that was the catalyst.
It's got to be it.
And then Gwen was telling me about drum circles. I think that was it. And then I called you and I was like, man... Because Gwen said, talk to Julie.
but think about that.
Yeah.
You went to a foreign nation, relationship connection.
Yeah.
Went to an island, right? Now, remember, see, God knew this before you came to Earth, right? All right, I got to get these people together. Oh, wait, I got to have a Wally talk to Julie. Wait, I got to have Wally find a drum first. Who does that, right? I mean, God does that. But think about his investment to get you to D.C.
Right.
His investment to get you to D.C. First of all, he had to make your son a pilot.
Right.
This is stupid. Right. I mean, we have a God that's like, I want you to win your race. And so I'm going to make sure that you have access to airlines. But wait, I got to get Wally out of his sports mind and give him a drum. So he can get free enough to go to religious world of where you live, Lynchburg-y world, and be confident enough to do drum thingy there and meet strange Brad and Gwen and make sure he's secure enough to get past that. And think about all that God had to do in just me to get you to D.C.
Wow.
So you could talk to that strange man who sat there that you got Dave to talk to. God did all of that so you could talk to a strange man. And then you got, okay, D.C. would not be complete without honeybees. Was that a hand?
Is it a goodbye hand, or you want to say something? Let's speak.
When you're done.
Okay. Think, who brings honeybees to D.C.? Yes, you know, see, a honeybee's needed, and a Dave ex-chiropractor, and a Julie fitness thingy, and a Wally who should be in Texas watching OU beat Texas. And the only reason I'm not there is because I went to Texas and played in the heart of Texas, drummed in the heart of Texas. I know for a fact, if I had not done that, I would be not here right now.
I believe that.
What happened in the heart of Texas?
There's a physical geographic place. So when I first time I came to Brownwood, I'm in Brownwood to speak at his, what's that place called? The motorcycle shop, the Friday night
ASAP,
meeting.
Ecclesia.
Yeah. Was Ecclesia there?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so he invites me to come to Brownwood, which I've never been to Brownwood.
Ecclesia wasn't yet.
Right. Yeah. So I'm there at this motorcycle shop, and there's motorcycles, and I can see the motorcycles, and I'm going to speak.
Marketplace Ecclesia.
Yeah, and I'm going to speak with motorcycles in the background to people who I don't know in Texas, and I'm an Oklahoma person. I'm sitting at the table, maybe 30 minutes, they have a meal. I turn to some lady who I don't know, and I go, "Where are we?" Now, she had the opportunity to say, "You're in Brownwood." She didn't say that. She said, "You are 26 miles away from the geographic heart of Texas."
Wow.
She could have said all kinds of, she could have said, "Honey, black man talking to me." You know, she could have said all kinds. But she said, and I said, "David, we're going there tomorrow." And we went. He brought his drum, I brought my drum, and we're drumming in the heart of Texas. It's on YouTube, something, not YouTube, it's on my Facebook someplace.
But how did that get you here?
It changed my heart.
For Texas.
I wouldn't be talking to her or him.
Okay.
I wouldn't be there. I got ordained in Texas because of that.
Wow.
My heart shifted. I didn't know my heart was shifting, right?
Yeah.
I went there because, I don't know why I went there, actually. I didn't go to Texas. I didn't go to Brownwood to go to the heart of Texas. That was not the plan, right?
Yeah.
But I know now that if that not happened, I wouldn't be talking to that Texan or that Texan. And if I wasn't talking, if that hadn't happened, I don't think that drum frequency would have came to you. So when you went to Israel, you'd have met da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and the cards, right? So let's not get lost in all the things the Father's doing behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But let's enjoy it. Just like the lady said there about, I felt a wind, and then I said, "Okay, when the wind comes, do you raise your sails, or do you go, is that a wind, right? Or do you run inside the house, or do you go, yes, let's fly?" And so we're being fashioned to the place where let's go fly. All right, Susan, you had something?
Are you still recording?
Yep.
They can't hear me.
Yes, they can. Who can't hear you?
They're
what are you talking
supposed
about?
To hear you, I think is what she's
what
saying.
Are you saying?
Stop
well,
recording?
I don't think they can hear me, so there's just going to be dead silence. I have something to say about the cloud of witnesses, but I don't think they can hear me. So I think I'll just wait until you're done, because I don't want there just to be a dead silence.
Who they? What are you talking about?
You're recording.
Yeah, I'm watching the thing. Say something. I'm watching the Viber move.
Okay.
Yeah, it moves.
So back when I first started, when I first talked to you, you had mentioned that you were nightly teaching in heaven a class. So, I don't know, it was maybe a few days later to a week later. I'm not much of a prophetic dreamer, but I had dreamt, and I don't know if you remember this or not, but I had dreamt that I was seated in heaven. I was in a stadium, and there was a speaker, and I could see the seats that were full, like the stadium was packed on both sides, and it was like shaped in a C. And so when I woke up, I realized that you were the speaker. So I asked you to describe to me what it looks like when you're speaking to your class. And you described, if you remember, exactly what I had seen in my dream. So I knew that was actually you that was the speaker that was speaking to all of us. So when you were talking about the cloud of witnesses, and you were talking about Lawrence, and time is relative, so time is happening all the time, right? It's not just in certain time and space and stuff like that. I don't know how to explain that properly. I'm not writing a book on it. So I realized when you were discussing that you were the cloud of witness in that time. So when you were speaking to that class, you were the cloud of witness, and I was witnessing you speaking. So even though when you're speaking to Lawrence, or when my daughter had spoke to Ruth, because time is relative, so you could be speaking to someone 200 years ago, 300 years in the future as a cloud of witness as well. And so even though we look at it like, I have never spoken to someone in the cloud of witness, but I'm just saying that you guys were talking about how it seems like a celebrity. Well, it's even us. It can even be us doing the work that God calls us to. So even when you just thought, well, nightly I'm teaching this class in heaven, which sounded super kooky to me back then, if right then and there you were teaching as a cloud of witness, you were teaching not necessarily in a stadium, but even one-on-one to people. And so you wouldn't look at yourself as a celebrity or someone that would want to spend time with you versus God the Father, right? So it's the same thing with Lawrence, and it's the same thing with Ruth.
That's good. That's good. And you don't know about the teaching I got last night on the airplane about each of us are the greatest of all time. And so you just confirmed what I got yesterday, and I shared a little bit with these guys. Okay, so thank you. That was awesome. I've got to go back and think about that, because that just kind of blew my mind a little bit. You blew my mind. You usually don't do that. That was a good one, Susan. Thank you. And it is recorded. So again, it's not about who I know. It's really about the Father has a plan for your life, right? And it's Ephesians 2:10. So, you know, you can go look up that scripture. But everything's important. Let me just say that. And if you don't go through the door, it's okay. You know, forgive yourself. But the next door that you know that I think this is that, realize that, man, the implications are mind-boggling, right? I'm thinking about for Lynchburg. If I had not, the first time I went to Lynchburg, the night before, my meeting was canceled. And then I went anyway, and then I met Jeanette. She was at the meeting. And Gwen was supposed to be there.
Yeah.
But she didn't go.
Yeah.
And I told Gwen when I met her in Atlanta, if you had gone to the meeting in Lynchburg, you'd be ready for this meeting here with Ian. And so it was this is wild. I mean, the whole thing of me meeting Gwen in Atlanta is just bizarre. And our lives are so this, you know, are locked together. It's like, if you think about it, you get dizzy, you know?
Yeah.
And so but the only thing that makes things good is, okay, let's get rooted and grounded in love, God's love, and I don't have to figure this thing out. I don't have to. It's not up to me to make the right decision so that the world stays in perfect balance. It's up to me to stay in love.
and then all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. It's not about, well, you better make a decision or Trump's going to lose the election. If you don't come to the drum circle, Trump's going to lose. Now, it's that weighty,
yeah.
But it's kind of on me, but he's carrying it with us, right?
Yeah.
But everything we do, is that important, I think, is what I say. And so we shouldn't take anything for granted, you know, who we sit next to in the plane, you know. I do sometimes. You know, loser. But I shouldn't do that, right? I should be radiating and vibrating and be fully love and open and stuff like that, right?
So you're welcome. I didn't sit next to you. You got a chapter done.
That's true. I wrote a chapter. Yeah. And I hadn't written in my book in a while, in a long while. So I'm going to close with the scripture, Galatians 4. We said it earlier. Just want to hit it again. Now, what I mean is that as long as the inheritor, that's us, we're the heirs, as a child, underage, he does not differ from a slave. So the father has us in the process to get us out of being a technon, to be a huos, to be an immature child who acts as a slave, because he knows we are the master of the state. We have territory that are called to rule and reign and have responsibility over. Whether that starts off as your children or your spouse, or your neighborhood, or whatever, you know, there's stuff, right? He knows how to get you ready for it. So you're not afraid of it, so it's not too much for you, right? But we need to trust the Father when he gives us a guardian, whether it be earth guardian or heavenly guardian, or whoever to talk to, that we stay with that person until he says it's over, not until we think it's over. It says here, but he is under guardians and administrators of trust until the date fixed by the Father, not when Wally checks the box. Okay. So.
It's good.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Recording off.